I am conservative.
I am liberal.
I am meh.
I am more than a label.
I am a computer geek.
I am a concerned parent.
I am the good shepherd.
I am hopeless.
I am hopeful.
I'm one of those people who looks like they know what they're doing, but really doesn't.
I'm one of those people whose mind is always somewhere else.
I'm lost, and I'm afraid. I feel like nobody cares about me, or even cares that I exist. I'm alone in the dark, and I'm afraid all the time.
I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for my sheep. I am the Good Shepherd.
We're going to read from John chapter 10, verse 11 to 21 this morning. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
Morning again. How would you feel if someone came up to you and called you a sheep? How would you feel if someone followed you around each day, kind of going, bah, and said, what do you think they would be saying about you? If you were to be labeled a sheep, what sort of things come to mind? My guess is it's more likely to be a critique than a compliment. Because I think in these days we think of sheep as dumb, unthinking followers. They're kind of like lemmings. One wanders off a cliff and the rest go and follow them. So to be called a sheep, how does that make you feel? We're going to spend a little bit of time before we get to the Good Shepherd looking at the other cast of characters in this story that Jesus tells, in this illustration that he's setting up. And I want to begin by looking at that idea of sheep. Now, my guess is when Jesus was making his point, when Jesus was trying to tell the people around them something, he's kind of looked around and gone, what illustration can I use? And back in ancient Israel, sheep was what he saw. It's kind of like our dog or two and a barbecue, flowers down the back, veggies by the side, and an old rocking chair. It's just everyday, commonplace kind of stuff. And so he says, you guys are like the sheep. And you know what? I reckon those who heard this story would have been even more cut than we are. We think he's calling us a sheep, we're those followers. In fact, when I first became a Christian at the age of 19, many, many, many of my good friends said, I'm just a sheep. I'm simply following orders. I'm walking around like a mindless lemming following people. It's pretty cutting to be called a sheep. But I think these guys would have felt even worse, because they would have had the tune of that Colin Buchanan song in their head. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Which is actually a very different way of using sheep. Rather than being sheep that all follow the one sheep and fall off a cliff, these are sheep that are so scattered in each and every single direction that they have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea where they're meant to be. Their only thing they're concerned about is themselves. How does it feel for Jesus to refer to us as aimless, wandering, sinful sheep? Because that's exactly what we're called in this story. Not only are we sinful sheep, we're sheep who deserve judgment. We're sheep who are heading for the slaughter because we've turned our back on our maker and our owner. How do you feel for Jesus to call you a sheep? That's the first main character in this story. And the sheep are always in danger of the wolf, but they're also in danger of the hired hand. If you've got a Bible or it's on your phone or your tablet, come with me to John 10. It's on page 759 of the Bibles at the back of church. And he introduces this figure of the hired hand to contrast with the owner. Take a look with me at verse 12. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Once again, just like being called sheep, the people who are being called hired hands knew exactly what Jesus was saying. He's referring to the shepherds of the flock. He's referring to the ministers or the priests of the Old Testament sacrificial system of the day. He's saying, you who are leading your people, you're not doing a good job. In fact, you're doing a really lousy job. You should be caring for the sheep. You should be loving the sheep. But really, what's happening? Anytime a sense of trouble comes, you only care about yourself and you're running away. You're not able to protect your sheep. You're not able to feed your sheep. You're not able to celebrate your sheep because you don't even know your sheep. You're only in it for the money. Have you ever had a minister like that? Have you ever had someone who you could tell was really doing this for the pay? In our country, I think I'm right in saying that's pretty rare. But in many countries, that is the case. In many countries, particularly the second children, they go into ministry because it's an opportunity to be respected. Can you imagine if they respected ministers in this country, Steve? It's an opportunity to be respected. And because they were doing it all for themselves, anytime persecution came, anytime someone came and said, you shouldn't be doing that, they're out of here. Because they don't really care about their sheep. And once again, the people who he was saying this to, they knew even more than we do that this is a scathing critique of those who should know better. Come with me, if you've got a Bible, to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. It's on page 612, if you've got this Bible. Ezekiel 34. Just as these guys knew that sheep were under judgment from Isaiah 53, these guys knew from Ezekiel 34 that ministers and leaders sometimes had a bad rap. Sometimes they were doing a lousy job. And in fact, God had pronounced sentence on these sheep, on these shepherds. He has said, you are really lousy. You're doing a poor job. I care about my sheep and one day I'm going to do something about it. Take a look with me from verse 1 of Ezekiel 34. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, those looking after the sheep. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourself with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, because you should have been the shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched for them or looked for them. God pronounced deep judgment on the leaders of Israel for not doing what they should have done, caring for God's sheep, recognizing that these sheep aren't their own, they're God's, but they were doing a lousy job. And then he says in verse 11, come down with me to verse 11, he says something that's really telling for what we're about to hear. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looked after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. Down in verse 20. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. I myself will judge because you shove with the flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant shepherd will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Judgment on the leaders of Israel because they weren't being the shepherds they were supposed to be. And now Jesus, referring to these hired hands, they knew exactly what they were being told. You're no better than those Ezekiel 34 shepherds, and God's going to judge you for it. You don't care about the sheep. You don't, but Jesus does. And in that background of uncared for, unloved, unfed, unprotected sheep, Jesus says back in John 10, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. You've seen examples of bad shepherds. You've seen every other sort of shepherd, even the ones you think are good. I am the good shepherd. I am the only good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And did you notice that by far and away the one point that he tries to prove to them that he is the good shepherd? He's the good shepherd because he lays down his life for his sheep. How many times? Take a look with the person next to you. Try and work out how many times he says, I laid down my life or something similar. Anyone have a guess at a number? Yeah, four. Any advances on four? Five. It's kind of four and a half. There's four, and he refers to it a second time in one. So I'll say both are correct. He in the point over and over and over again. I am the good shepherd because I lay down my life. I am the good shepherd because I lay down my life. Because I lay down my life, I am the good shepherd. What does it mean to be a good shepherd? To be willing and in fact to lay down your life for the sheep. How loving a thing is that to do? Have you ever heard a story about someone laying down their life? I remember I thought it was a preacher's dream come true. In a sick, twisted kind of way. A preacher's dream come true when a story arose in the news about a couple who were on their honeymoon up on the Gold Coast. And they were out swimming on the beaches. and a shark alarm came, and the husband, brand new husband, saw the shark heading for his brand new bride, and he got in the way, pushed her off, she survived and he died. I thought, again, yeah, in a terrible kind of way, that was a great illustration of what it means to lay down one's life. But it has nothing on Jesus. Nothing on Jesus. We've seen this very week how meaningless some deaths can be, can't we? That's one of the biggest reasons we have been up in arms as a nation at the execution of those two men in Indonesia. They were rehabilitated men doing good. Their death was so meaningless. It was so avoidable. It was terrible. You look at what happened in Nepal with the thousands of deaths and you think, are they meaningless? But Jesus says, no, my death is no accident. My death is no mistake. No one is going to force it upon me. I'm going to lay down my life. And it's very easy to read the Gospels and say, I don't know if that's exactly true, Jesus. I mean, weren't the Rome, well, first of all, wasn't Judas the one who betrayed you? And weren't the Romans the ones who came and took you away? And weren't they the ones who actually crucified you? How can you say you laid down your life? Because that's exactly what he did. He was the one who made sure that everything worked out exactly the way it did. So that what he said would come true, that he laid down his life for his sheep. It's an amazing way to speak of the atonement. Jesus' death on our behalf. Going back to Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sing, ba ba do ba. The penalty that we deserve for being sheep that don't listen to our shepherd is death. And Jesus willingly, sacrificially, that's what it means to choose to lay down, sacrificially took that punishment on himself. How much more loved could you possibly be than that? Friends, that is the definition of love. 1 John 3:16, this is love, that Christ laid down his life for his sheep. We all go through life looking to be loved. If we weren't looking to be loved, we wouldn't be human. We go looking for love and for acceptance and for value in every area of our life. We look for love in our relationships. We look for love in our work. We look for love in all the wrong places, like the bottom of a bottle or the internet. Things that people we don't think people will ever find out about ourselves. We look for love in all the wrong places. When clear as day, Jesus says, I love my sheep so much that I will die for them. I will give my life for them. Do you feel loved by that? Do you feel the intensity of this one person's love? And we've got to remember that we weren't easy to love when this happened. Jesus didn't see a picture of what we could become and die for that person. No, Jesus saw us at the very bottom of who we are, at our absolute weakest. Jesus sees us and loves us so much that he died for us. That is incredibly powerful love. But it's more than just being saved. That's what he goes on next. He goes on to talk about, I know my sheep like the Father knows me. When we're saved, we're not only pronounced innocent. We are in some crazy way brought into the love that the Father has for the Son through the bonds of the Holy Spirit. Take a look with me as the passage continues. I am the good shepherd, verse 14. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. When we call God our Father in the same way that Jesus calls God our Father, have you ever considered that? We are equal in love with the precious Son who has been there from all eternity. That in fact God's plan for us is not just to tick a box saying we're saved in the afterlife. He is gathering us together to share in the love that the Father and the Son have for each other from before eternity. How deep a love is that? How deep a love. But of course, Jesus didn't die just for the sheep here. He goes on to say, I have many more sheep. Now, in that context, he's saying, not only is Israel my sheep, but the whole world is my sheep. The Gentiles, you and I, if we're not Jews, the Gentiles are my sheep, and they will hear my voice also. They will hear and they will respond and they will come to me. I think it's safe to say that the same thing is true today. There are sheep out there who are not meeting with us this morning who will come. There are sheep that Jesus knows and Jesus deeply loves that he wants to come to him. And one of the greatest ways he does that is through us, pointing people to the Good Shepherd. This should be an enormous encouragement to evangelism. As we go out there, we should know that Jesus has other sheep that he will bring in, that will hear his voice. Unlike the many people, we've all had bad experiences where we preach the gospel, we tell people about Jesus, and they flat out reject it. There are others out there who will hear that as the best news in the world. That they are deeply loved so much that Jesus died for them. Friends, we are much loved sheep. You are much loved sheep. Please don't go out looking for that kind of love in other places because you won't find it. Please don't look for it by trying to achieve it because you will only end up disappointed. No matter where it is that you're seeking that love, you won't find it. You will be constantly disappointed, frustrated, joyless. Only Jesus can love you that way that makes that big a difference. Jesus loves his sheep. Jesus leads his sheep. As a shepherd, the job of the shepherd is to look after the good of the sheep. So often, I know what Jesus tells me to do in a situation. And I think, yeah, but if he was in my shoes, maybe he'd tell me something different. Maybe he'd actually tell me, you know that thing that you want to do? Maybe after all, I was wrong. You kind of know better. Why don't you kind of go and do that? We say that and it sounds silly, but we do it unthinkingly all the time, don't we? Jesus is the good shepherd who leads his sheep. Because he loves them, he leads them well. He leads them through things that are important. Sometimes that involves pain and setbacks. But it's always for our good. We are sheep who are loved. We are sheep who are led. And lastly, getting back to the very start, we're sheep. In the best possible sense of the word. Because of that, we need rest. If you're someone who's looking for love in what you do, the temptation will be to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it until you burn yourself out. As a minister, I know that I am so tempted to work because there's always more work to do. Whenever you're working with people, teachers are the same. Whenever you're working with people, there's always more work to do. So the temptation is not to rest. The temptation is just to keep going. But we need to remember, friends, that we're sheep. Last week, I believe you read out Psalm 23, the great psalm about sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. sometimes if we're not willing to rest ourselves, he'll bring something into our life to make sure that we rest. Because we need it. We need it. How do you go at resting? At just being a sheep? Admiring the shepherd that we have in front of us? Being thankful for the shepherd? Rejoicing over the shepherd? Loving the shepherd back? Looking at all the other lost sheep and going, wow, how blessed am I to be in this pen? We're sheep who are dearly loved. We're sheep who are really well led, but at the same time, we're just sheep. Sometimes we just need to stop and be thankful for that. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we like to think of ourselves as people who have it all under control, as people who are working things out ourselves, as people who have a plan that we're going to earn something. And so we look for love and acceptance and salvation in all the wrong places. Lord, would you free us from the slavery that that is? Would you guide us towards the good shepherd who loves his sheep so much that he gives his life for them, who loves his sheep so much that he brings them into that Trinitarian relationship that he shared from the very beginning. Father, thank you so much that we are loved and led sheep. Help us to be your sheep, to listen to your voice, to follow you, and to rest. Father, would you grant us great rest, knowing how loved we are. Amen.